welcome to another exclusive SearchOracle.com podcast. I'm Ed Scannell, the site editor for SearchOracle.com. Today, from the Collaborate 09 conference in Orlando, Florida, we are talking with Jose Lazar, Oracle's Vice President of Application Development and Product Strategy. Jose is one of the guiding forces behind Oracle's Application Integration Architecture Strategy, which is a key initiative in helping integrate several of Oracle's enterprise-level applications, allowing users to more easily orchestrate user-oriented business processes and to share data across a range of Oracle's enterprise-class applications. We will be talking, Jose, about a range of different topics, including the level of acceptance of AIA has achieved among users, what some of the more constructive feedback from users has been on the technology, some of the advantages and issues involved in getting non-Oracle or user-developed applications to work smoothly with Oracle applications within AIA, and where he sees AIA evolving over the next year or so. So welcome, Jose. It's good to have you on.
So I just want to start by asking, you know, what has been the general acceptance of AIA so far? Where are the customers in terms of their evaluation cycle?
Well, that's always a good question to start off with, right? So just a little bit of context. So we started Oracle's Application Integration Architecture about 2 years ago, really with the intention of addressing a customer desire, which is now that Oracle had acquired 45 or 50 different application companies, they felt like we needed to provide a better way to reduce the costs and risk associated with integrating the applications together to support kind of the best practice business processes that sit both horizontally across a broader cross-section of our applications, but very specific to an industry. And I think really acceptance has kind of come in two forms. So we initially started with the idea of pre-built process integration packs. And really the focus there was bringing together some of our core ERP and CRM applications to kind of merge the front to back office. And then along the way, over the last couple of years, what we started to find was in the application of a service-oriented architecture, one of the key things that many of our customers were lacking, especially larger enterprise, was a standardized framework and programming model of how and when you applied the different sets of Fusion middleware technologies that we had. So when do you use BitBull, or when do you use ESB or ODI, these types of different capabilities that we have. And so about a year ago, we actually created what we call AIA's Foundation Pack. Really to take our programming model that we were using internally to build process integration packs and then actually put that into the form of a product that's actually part and sold with our Fusion middleware now. So what we've seen is two things. One is an acceleration within the technology community of actually taking Oracle's programming model and leveraging it to have customers self-build their own process integration packs, leveraging kind of the standardized programming model that we have in place, right? And then in the second area is that on the process integration pack side, we've seen good traction around three core areas. One is our CRM on demand integrated to our back office, in particular e-business suite. Yesterday we announced the availability of the JD Edwards integration along the CRM on demand as well. The second area is around core end-to-end business flows like order to cash or design to release that take a best-of-breed component like Siebel or Agile integrated to the back office ERP systems, really to support product innovation and kind of more efficient operational control. And then the third area where we've really seen a lot of penetration and traction is with our industry-specific set of process integration packs around the telecommunications area. And really this is where Oracle has a fairly strong footprint of three or four different applications, right, that we're now tying all together to be able to support core processes like the order to activation lifecycle in telecommunications. And really the goal in all of these is a more rapid time to deploy. So really the primary value customers are seeing is taking away the cost, but more importantly, allowing them to get to value against their applications by getting them deployed more quickly.
I mean, we hear, just a general observation, we hear that a lot of users are interested in this, but really haven't made the jump yet. There's a lot of tire kicking, but not implementations yet. Is that generally what you find so far? Still, they're still pretty early in an evaluation cycle, generally speaking?
So it depends on what you think is generally speaking, right? So I think that, you know, with a portfolio of over, 40,000 application customers, if you looked at the scale of where we're at, yes, I would say that we're still in the early adopter phase. In terms of, you know, the amount of adoption of the particular products that we have, I think what we're seeing is more traction around 4 or 5 specific process integration packs. Where we've gotten, you know, a good number of actual deployments done, right? We have a good base of reference customers now in place, and we have about 70-plus implementations underway now. So we think that we've kind of hit that point. In fact, over the last 2 quarters, AIA has had their best 2 quarters. So what we're actually seeing is just the opposite trend, where as customers are focusing in on how do I deliver core value quickly, they're really looking at what do we have more specifically now, and we're starting to see greater traction. One point I will make about the adoption is whenever you introduce the concept of an overall framework or architecture, you automatically move out of the realm of any single IT body making the decision to working with the enterprise architecture group. And the enterprise architects are a very thoughtful bunch of folks. And they go through very long cycles of evaluation. So yes, I would say that when you start to look at it as an overall framework on how you want to implement Enterprise SOA, right, the level of diligence that they put against it is greater. So that does, in fact, carry the sales cycle, if you will, longer. But I think you get a greater level of commitment coming out of it that they've made an enterprise decision to kind of move forward with AI. So we're actually really pleased with what we're seeing. So I think I would say, yes, we're still emerging out of that kind of initial early adopter phase, and we're moving towards that acceleration phase.
Have you come across, many cases where user-developed applications or non-Oracle applications are not fitting neatly within the framework?
Yeah, so that's a great question about the applicability of what we're really trying to accomplish. So when we first started out figuring out how we wanted to build the model, we always thought about it as an application-agnostic framework, empowered by the fact that we had many applications. So really at the core of AIA is what they call an entity-based logical business object model, and then a set of supporting web services. And the process by which we go through is to leverage open standards, really 2 core components technical spec, which is how we define our component structures, which is an open international standard, actually chaired by SAP. And then we use for naming conventions to give you a common business vocabulary or set of business semantics. We use a standard called ISO 11179, which is how we name in our rules. And really what we really have found is that around 80% of our customers in their initial implementations are integrating to a non-Oracle application. Right. This goes back to the heart of the 3 areas we see. One is customers just want to connect 2 applications together from Oracle, get them up and running and realize the value. Great for a process integration pack. I want to do a business transformation and modernize. I bought a set of Oracle applications, but I have some legacy or existing POTS applications that I need to migrate out over time. And that's where you start to see them having to integrate as part of their first phase to existing structures. What we think is that the fact that we're building a model, a logical model and a set of semantics that is basically rationalized across 5 or 6 different views of what an order is or what an invoice is or what an item is a lot more powerful as a base starting point than looking at something that might have been developed in a lab, in a vacuum, and or might have been based on just a single footprint or model. Say, like what SAP does. And so I think that's really where we see the difference. So to answer your question specifically, we haven't seen that actually as a challenge to integrate to other applications. That being said, there are always limitations And what I mean by that is there's some things when you have a non-relational store inside of a mainframe application, there's very little you can do about that other than enable it to be more service-oriented. And we provide those kinds of strategies specifically on how you address, say, non-relational-based applications or applications that lack web service enablement capabilities to make it easier to integrate to.
Right. Okay. Well, what's the most constructive feedback you've got from a user so far?
I think the constructive feedback comes in two areas. One is that really what the customers would like to see is two things. Number one, they would really like to see us focus a lot more on the process side from a functional perspective. And what we mean by that is we started out with delivering a kind of a reference process model for business users to kind of decompose their core activities into tasks and then associate them to these service artifacts. We've actually seen a lot of demand for what we've delivered in that area. So one of the things that we did is we provided the methodology for our Fusion applications to define their reference processes. We've now taken those and packaged those as part of our foundation pack. That cuts across functionally across 32 different enterprise business processes. And then what we do is for each process integration pack, we decompose that into a granular level and map it to the SOA artifacts. And so it's kind of a composite business flow at that point. And so we've seen a lot of demand on that area of bridging the IT business function user gap is one key area. The other thing that people have asked us for is when you productize something like integration, you then have a new level or standard. It's no longer acceptable to say, here's just the tools, go build your integration. They expect you, if you build a baseline integration, to have an extension framework on top of it that preserves their changes, because everybody's going to modify or change what we deliver to fit their context. And so because of that, it puts a higher premium on control and governance, right? So how you actually manage the structures of what you do and how you build extensions. And that puts a little bit more time and effort on it. So what we've been asked is, can you please focus more readily on automating the generation of the core artifacts you need, right? So that I don't have to think about it, kind of make it dummy-proof, if you will, so that I can extend it easily. And so that's another core area we've been focused on, is bringing utilities that automate the actual construction so that it creates better boundaries so you don't make mistakes. And that's really kind of the second real piece of feedback that we've gotten that I thought's been very useful for us.
Have you had any particular or special problems integrating some of the more popular open source applications at this point?
So in terms of third-party applications, the only kind of core investment that we're making at this point from an Oracle perspective is really kind of focused on SAP. So basically what we're doing is we're taking and building a process integration pack, say connecting, a good example would be Agile, integrated to eBusiness Suite to support the design to release process. All right, now we've built that out, we released that, I believe it was in August of this past year. We then took that and re-looked at the process and looked at SAP working through a partner. And basically what we did is we focused on reusability, and we were able to reuse over 70% of our code and integrated it to both SAP 4.7 and 6.0. And what's the most interesting fact there is that, number one, is that we could integrate plus 70% of the existing code, but also what we found was there were several areas where we had best practice capability, right? For example, the idea of an alternative manufacturers list is native in both the eBusiness Suite and Agile, but doesn't exist natively in SAP. So we had to make choices around, do we maintain the best practice or do we reduce it to support SAP? And you see those types of issues, and then you see kind of data acceptance issues. In other words, let's say you're changing an engineering order for your bill of material. Both Agile and eBusiness Suite can take what they call delta changes. So I'm just changing this one component in the bill of material structure. Let me pass that from Agile to the eBusiness Suite. Well, in SAP, you need to send all of the information. You have to overwrite the bill of material. There, we did make an adjustment, added another flow to better support SAP's capability. And so really, that's the core of what we're finding in working with third-party applications. To be more specific, our goal is that we have a partner program called AIA for Partners, and we really have started the process of asking ISVs and system integrators to start submitting derivative works that are on top of ours so that we can actually look at validating those and actually having them be validated by Oracle and made available. So we don't anticipate necessarily building out to a whole bunch of third-party applications, but to the extent that those third parties want to integrate to Oracle assets, we want to make a program available for them to do so.
This may not be that relevant a question based on what you just said. I was kind of curious, though, that given the nature of AIA's ability to handle other applications, does it put a lot of pressure on internal Oracle developers to produce good products? I suppose that's a good thing and a bad thing, right?
Does it put a pressure on us? We're always under pressure to deliver high quality products across our application suites. No, I think really what we see is just the opposite, right? Is that where customers have made choices around middleware technologies, right? Where they are, really have used it and have deployed it. The question that we often see is, okay, do I have to carry the middleware with what I do in AIA? And our answer to them is yes, because what we're really trying to do is deliver an integrated set of technologies that are enabled across with standardized content. And really, the cost of us supporting and maintaining multiple variations on that would take away from our ability to focus on new product development and kind of delivering incremental value based on the customer feedback. One thing that you should note is that in many instances, given a given business process and how it might be architected within a company, a lot of our implementations, I would say probably half, do in fact integrate to other middleware because they already have something in place that they're happy with. And that's really the flexibility that we're really looking to kind of make. I think where it does show up a little bit different is in the context of the applications. So, for example, when we go through a best practice process review, say for the order to activation lifecycle, one of the things that we found was that we could expose web services from, say, our billing and revenue management system, okay? But now we have to consume those web services, say, in Siebel, because we want to optimize a user's experience. And so what it ended up doing is we end up having to create, 15, 20 net new UIs in Siebel to now support that context of those services that we're exposing from another system. So in that way, we are improving our applications to better fit the context of a given business process. And yes, like anything else, the capability is how do we bring that forward quickly with each major release or rev of our applications? And then how do we certify that new rev, right? So when we release it, we like to go through a testing pass to make sure that nothing's changed and that it performs the same and that you can upgrade, because our promise to customers is that, it's additive. You can upgrade over time, right, to newer versions of the products, and we'll continue to support it. So I think those are two core areas where we really see a lot of that. But I don't think it puts any more pressure on us to deliver a quality product. I think we put a premium on that anyway.
Who is the primary architect or guiding hand, I suppose, behind AIA?
Oh, the primary architect. So I would say I have I call him my chief architect internally. He, on one side, it's Ravi Sankaran. He basically has about 25 years in enterprise applications and in integration. Came from the CRM side, from PeopleSoft, actually. And he's been my chief architect, kind of guiding the overall development. But I think the other side of the equation is that we also have a process side as well that we're gearing up more aggressively. Because what we find is that customers don't necessarily really understand their end-to-end business process. They understand it in functions and in silos, right? But going across, really they don't have good discovery tools or good documentation or good standardization over the process and what they've implemented. So, you know, one of the things that we really have done is we brought in a gentleman by the name of Jim Lang on the architecting side for business process management so that we can start to create new capabilities to make it easier to find your business process as it is and how you want it to be. And that's kind of another key investment area. So I would say those are two of my core architects. And then the third would be at the standards. So from a standards perspective, the chairman of OAIG, right, OASIS, basically Garrett Minakawa is in my team, as well as the chief architect for OAG. So we have a very strong, robust standards background at the core of our programming and entity model that really helps drive what we're doing there. And I won't be remiss, the core architect of our EBO, Enterprise Business Object Model, is a guy named Satish Ramanathan, who brings about 20 years in this space. So,
I mean, everyone stands on the shoulders of giants in this business. What model, I guess, most influenced you from the past? Hopefully it wasn't IBM's SAA, if you remember that.
Actually, this is one of the interesting questions, right? Ed, you ask a good question, because customer asked me, well, it's new, and I'll say, no, it has a rich history. Really, it comes from object programming models, right? So, and really a baseline of this logical entity structures that came out of OAG, that came out of IBM, many 25 years ago, right? But what really lacked in those models, and really what we saw as an opportunity, Garrett and myself, when we first started this, was that what didn't happen in those other situations is that they didn't own a lot of the applications. So the ability to influence the applications to adopt the specific standards so that your APIs look like the common wasn't there. So we did see a unique opportunity to take two kind of core concepts, the whole concept of B2B document management and the hub and spoke on that side of the equation, and this whole business semantics, you know, driven approach, a logical object model supported by operational web services, basically to bring that together in the unique context of the fact that we now had a broad portfolio of the applications where we could gain alignment and governance and that we could actually drive this. So the core of that is, yes, there is a little bit of IBM, meta management, and those types of things historically where they built great reference models but not very implementable, right? There is the piece of the standards bodies work that have been focused on information models and sharing those information models, where you got good traction from, say, Common Business Document Exchange. And then there's the third part of the context of a service-oriented architecture and the principles that Thomas Kurian and his organization had laid down in terms of real-time web services-based. So,
just a last question. What do you see as the next big technical evolution for AIA?
Next big technical evolution. So I think there are a couple of things that we see. The first is when we started out, as you might suspect, with integration, we started and focused a little bit at the data level, right? And then what we've done is slowly started to move up to create more context within the process and the transaction level. And now what we're really looking to do is reuse this virtual set of web services and basically take that to the UI level to support kind of more enterprise mashups and kind of on-the-fly mini views. Why? The whole concept of composite applications, right, which have been around for a while, is that you would have a underlying set of systems, each exposing an engine or set of functionality that through a common UI would create an application. Very few have done that and done it successfully. And my view is you needed to kind of disaggregate that down to augmenting the task or the activity first. So create little components that are reusable and then start binding those components over time into kind of an overall application. So where we see our evolution on that level is really taking and reusing the plumbing we've put together, right, into this common web service that now can be reused in the context of creating component-based tasks tied to the applications users use today. So that's one area. And where we've put in place our composite app framework that ties into our ADFBC model, right, as well as .NET, so that you can actually create UIs right on top of our services and reuse them given the plumbing. The second area that we see is really from our customers and from the movement towards what some call cloud computing, right? And really what that's talking about is how do you deliver integration as a service and what's the business model behind that and how do we create mixed deployment modes, right? In other words, some customers have on-premise assets like financials where they're never going to put them on a cloud other than their own, okay, because it's financials. And so that's always an on-premise asset, but hey, I need to interface it to my sales automation tool, right, that's sitting up on a software as a service. How do I do that cost effectively and performantly, right? So we do see the need to kind of evolve ourselves to focus on being able to create mixed deployment modes and actually address integration as a service, right? Supporting kind of the evolution of where, you know, things are going in terms of utility computing and basically making it more scalable and cheaper. I like to call it really what people want from an integration is CPU on demand, right? Which is how do I basically provision up for my peaks but don't have to buy to my peak at that moment in time. That's right. So those are some of the key areas that I really see us evolving and really tying together, and we'll always do it in the context of the process because we think that's the best way to get to the value is that piece. And so when you think of process, one missing component in AIA today is really the introduction of business process management and human-oriented workflow. So you can look for us to kind of move in that direction as well over the coming year, right, is delivering best practices and guidelines around how you leverage Oracle Business Process Management, BPM Studio, and really go about tying that in to really give you an end-to-end process view that covers human-based tasks, collaboration, and core integration.
Well, thanks for listening in today. For a deeper technical dive on Oracle's application integration architecture, you can visit http://blogs.oracle.com/AIA. Thank you for listening in and hope to see you next time.